You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some noise.
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Come on.
Okay. What a... Look, if you want to kick off doing two shows a week, this is the right show to get that started, don't you think?
This is the way to go, baby. It's the MLS playoffs, and they do not disappoint.
They clearly do not, man. I didn't know what to, you know, usually you saw these, you know, the way the seeding ended up in the playoffs, and you're like, all right, we know who is going to get through. This is these boring ass matchups. Let's get ready. Let's get going to these Eastern and Western Conference semifinals. But no. Some of these Cinderella stories from these teams, they're trying to make it feel like March Madness out here.
Oh, they're making it feel like something, man. It is wild time out there. It is absolutely insane. Every game has something crazy happening in it. We've got karate kicks, okay? And all of this, whole second episode, all of this, our ability to sit here and talk about this as opposed to waiting for the entire weekend to talk about it, it's all because of you,
exactly.
The fans, the Gully Squad.
That is right. So if some people, if you're listening to this and you don't know why are the Cooligans doing another episode this week? And it's because we've been talking about Gully Squad and we've been trying to get people to help us get to a place where we can do some more soccer content, right? And also kind of feed our we both have 6 children that we don't feed. And
this is all true.
And we got it. Yes, it's all true. We got it. And look, and all they say every day, they're like, Papa, when are you going to make enough money doing a soccer podcast so you can feed us? And I say, get back in your dungeon. I'm a bad father. Yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Keep making those wallets, kids.
So through the kindness of the members of the Gully Squad, you are helping those kids not make wallets anymore. So thank you for that. Thank you for joining and helping us get to this place, because it is, we take pride in what we do and frankly, people are supportive and they want more of what we do. And it's nice to not have to wait, a whole week for the Cooligans take on these big knockout games in MLS.
Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful to get a second episode? So if you want to help us continue to do this, all you got to do is go to our website, join the Gully Squad, and you can have more than just one episode a week. It's not bad. We're going to be in your voice. We're going to be in your voice. We're going to be in your head.
We're going to be in your ears. We're going to be in your mouths. This is going to be everywhere.
We're never going to be in your mouth. And that's when people start to cancel their subscriptions.
That's the plan here. And look, it's been cool. We've been starting to gather the troops. You know, like we created the super secret Facebook group that nobody knows about.
Including people who should be on it.
So people are joining, and people are is Gully Squad members are getting to communicate with each other, chat it up, being like, yo, you love the Cooligans, yo, I love the Cooligans, and that's mostly what the whole message board is.
People professing their love for us.
Exactly. We did say we were starting a religion, and we're starting small. We're starting with Facebook, right? So. So if you want to get in on that, you want to help us, again, make more content. You want to help us just survive in this soccer landscape because you enjoy the Cooligans, you need to join the Gully Squad. And there's obviously a bunch of rewards. You can get merch. You can get stickers. You can get a T-shirt. You can play us in FIFA. You can contribute to what we talk about on the show. This second episode could be what you want it to be. You know, there's I don't know how many other comedians are making soccer content for you. So this could be your opportunity be like, hey, there's I love this subject or this thing about soccer. I would love these two comedians who are very terrible to their children. I would love if they would make jokes about this particular thing that I want to talk about, that I want to hear about. So that's where you do it. That's, you join the Gully Squad. That's how you make that happen.
Hell yeah. And one of the things we're going to do in this episode, not only do we have a great interview coming up with a Sporting Kansas City left back who has, you know, hit the top of the news recently.
That's right. He's currently
MLS. One of the currently on hot. Talk about this first round of MLS playoffs. Oh my God.
Yeah, this player is currently on holiday, but he's great. So we are going to be joined by Seth Sinovic of Sporting Kansas City, and he was awesome, and we're so happy that he joined us. I know if you guys recall, we spoke to his homie Matt Beisler a couple weeks ago, and now, you know, we got to get the other side of the conversation, of, you know, especially for these two best friends, because we only got one side of that. So yes, like Alexis was mentioning, the MLS playoffs, right? The knockout rounds. Can we start in the order that they were played? Can we talk about that, Alexis? Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, let's just go with the way you decide, because you're the one who picks the order.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure that, you know, the control and the creative control of this show is still held by me.
No, I don't want that. I'm just here for some zings, you know? You go ahead and do all the work.
Hey, where's my zing man? All right, cool.
Zing man, what's up? Did somebody say wing man? No, we said zing man, buddy.
Okay, so let's get right to it. First game up, NYCFC against the Philadelphia Union. I don't know if you know, if anyone listening might be the first time you're listening. Maybe you're tuning in because you heard Seth Sinovic is going to be on the show. But the Cooligans, we are based in New York, and we tend to have a little bit of a vested interest in NYCFC, mainly because we're the owners of the team. We're recording this in Dubai.
Yeah, absolutely. So. My name is Alexis Etihad Guerreros.
Okay, and my name is Christian Alshuk Polanco.
MBS for short.
So, NYCFC played against the Philadelphia Union in the first knockout game. They win this game 3-1. And we were making jokes earlier this week about how this was the second leg of this matchup, and it was held at Yankee Stadium for both legs, which is probably is grossly unfair, but that's what ended up happening. But this I was at the game. Alexis was not. He could not make it. Right. What you were at a casino gig?
A very bad casino gig. Yes, that's right. There's a casino in Yonkers, New York. Yonkers. Ooh. Yonkers is where the Lox and DMX are from, and they decided to give them a casino.
Wow. They don't play card games there. It's just all dice out there in the YO.
CeeLo. No. Just video CeeLo.
Yep. You don't even, it's not actually a casino. You just bounce dice off a brick wall. It's just somewhere in the middle of the street.
It's an air-conditioned alleyway with a very nice rug. And
yeah,
they
you gotta get
and ask if you want drinks, and they bring it to you in brown bags. It's a bit much.
Okay, but it's for ambiance. All right, you gotta keep.
That's what you pay
you
for.
Gotta keep it. So that's why you pay that dude on the corner to turn in that alley. That's what you pay him for.
That's right. So they got security now. It was the worst. I got picked up super late. We got there late. I was supposed to go on at a certain time. I ended up going on 35 minutes later. The food was terrible. The money's good. Only reason I didn't. It's the only reason I didn't get to go to the game. But I did get to watch a good portion of the game in the car. They do send a car for you. And instead of sending an Uber, they send a old school limo driver who doesn't have a smartphone, doesn't have modern day navigation.
He just has a cigar in his mouth. He's like, "Where you want to go, kid? I know this city like the back of my hand.
Tell me where you want me to go. Also, show me how to get there." This guy was the worst driver. He didn't know anything about the city. I think the last time he lived in, he went to Brooklyn was in the 70s. I think he actually told me that. So this is the guy they sent. And then when he got to the show, 49 minutes late, I think it was, totally 49 minutes late. The last thing he said, he's like, yo, don't tell nobody because I don't want to lose this account.
Yeah, this just so people listening know what the life of a stand-up comedian is like, this is basically it. It is the life of luxury that you imagined. So,
if I told you I was doing a gig in a casino with free food, good pay, and they pick you up in a car and drop you off, you would think this dude's living the life.
Yeah. I'd be like, yo, how'd you get that gig? I want that. Like,
you should go apply to be a bus driver and get out of that business.
You're doing life wrong, buddy.
It was trash. So I had to miss the game, but I did get to watch most of it. And that Ishmael Tajiri-Shradi goal was absolutely amazing.
Oh, my God. Just genuine chef, like, mouth kiss, fingers. Oh, my God. It's just great. seeing it live was, there's a couple of things, right? Because the complaint, and this happens more during the playoffs because, NYCFC is on a national stage and Twitter goes bonkers because they're like, as soon as they turn on the TV and they start watching the game from the weird camera angle, they're like, yo, this field, why is this field so small? How does MLS allow this? All right. And just to sort out everything for the people that always have this complaint, this is a legitimately allowed size field in FIFA. FIFA is cool with this. So I'm not saying that I'm a fan of it. I'm just saying that complaining of why they allow it is pointless because that's where we play and there's nothing we can do. Nobody can do anything about it. All right. If you're going to complain, why don't you come up, move to New York, advocate for a new stadium, get into politics, get the Blasio out of here, and then help New Yorkers get a new soccer stadium. So enough of the complaint. But you start seeing that immediately because everybody's seeing their team play. It could be Philly, it could be anybody, it doesn't matter. But watching that go live, it the field did feel small. It was legitimately, and you might even see me like on camera celebrating this goal, but I couldn't believe he even took the shot, and he took the shot so fast that it looked like a professional player taking a crack on a futsal pitch. You know what I mean? Like when you play on smaller pitches, everything, when you see a better player, everybody just seems, they just seem faster. They seem clearly better than everyone else. That's what that Shradi goal, where you saw the defender and you saw Andre Blake not even react fast enough because they didn't expect any of that to happen.
I mean, who would have expected that to happen? You shouldn't do that in a video game. You're wasting an opportunity. There's just no reason to ever do that. And he did it. He did not care.
It's a reckless shot. But look, he did basically the same thing in Toronto a couple weeks ago. And we have to get used to that Shradi is a real, real threat. You know, the last time, they won the game, so obviously they're going to be playing against Atlanta. But the game against Atlanta, that was the game that Shradi pulled his hamstring chasing Miguel Almirón. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But, you sort of wonder, like, if he didn't even go through that injury spell where he missed a couple weeks, where he would be throughout the season. But Ishmael Tajiri-Shradi, the law firm of Ishmael Tajiri-Shradi is doing great.
By us. By the way,
yes, we coined it. Other people, are using it, which as they should, right? That's fine.
Yeah, by the way, we don't have to be coy about it. Shouts to Andrew Wiebe.
Used
it on, I guess, what I forget what the name of the show is. It's the one that's on like Periscope
It was the post game MLS, on MLSsoccer.com.
Yeah,
Andrew. Yeah, so that was it. It feels good to see that kind of acknowledgement. We put that out into the ether, and now people are using it. We made that sketch, and now people are like kind of referring to him that way, and that's like, all right, that's pretty dope. That's like a fun little thing that we got to kind of create and put out into the world.
It was born in our podcast, and then we made it into that sketch, and now people are quoting that, which is insane. This dude has a nickname because of us.
Yo, we're giving out people. We're like the Trump of soccer, nicknaming everybody. You know,
let's never be that ever again.
No, man, we agree with everything he does and says, right?
Yeah, 100% down the line. We're just the worst human being you could think of. We agree with everything he says.
I could have also said George W. Bush, who also gave people nicknames. Remember Brownie and all this other stuff. But also not a huge fan of his policies either. So it feels like if you're a politician that nicknames people, you might be an awful person.
Yeah. Also, we need to change how people feel about people who give nicknames, because we out here giving nicknames and we're pretty dope people.
Exactly. So, but we're not politicians, and yeah, we have the criminal record that won't allow it. So,
right, we're not allowed to run for office anymore.
So we keep trying, but they don't let us. But the Schrotty goal, absolutely incredible. Overall, the Philadelphia Union. Shout out to all the Philadelphia Union fans and listeners to of the show. I know people were the Philly. You know, Philadelphia Union fans are not exactly like Philadelphia Eagles fans. You know, they carry knives, but they're smaller knives. You know
they're
what I'm
smaller
saying?
Smaller knives. They're like Swiss Army knives.
They're reasonable people, all right, compared to Eagles fans. So they, you know, they were talking a lot of smack and being like, "Yo, Philly's gonna wax you guys," and all this stuff, all this nonsense. But look, Philly lost on Sunday to NYCFC, and it was like, dude, it was this, and it was the same exact scoreline. It was a 180 minute game. That's all it was, and Philly
they
did
make
not
one different change. They could do one thing differently.
They could. I mean, they could. It's a shame. You would. You know.
You got to practice think, run.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, like, you know, I was even worried about that. I'm like, oh, look, they just played a game. Then 4 days later, they're playing again. They're probably gonna be all right. You know, they got a feel for the field. But no, they got to that field. They were like, "What's this field? Hey, why is it so small? What, you know, like they had the Men in Black." You know, memory loss thing, and they didn't remember that they just played there a couple days
ago. They got there and they're like, "Oh God, we should have prepared for this."
Man, I should have crammed a little bit. So, yeah, and then the goal. I'm not even giving credit to Trotty's goal. How about Villa's flick onto Trotty's run to even make that goal even possible. Villa was spectacular. So was Maxi Morales. Maxi, again, with the third goal and that beautiful chip over Andre Blake. Just a shame. I think Philly just completely unmatched, overmatched. You know, they can't. NYCFC is just not a team they can really keep up with. And
yeah, but we're talking about NYCFC that has all its pieces, right? NYCFC was a very different team the last few months compared to Yangel Herrera, who's just, yeah. I mean, absolutely a monster. And I can't believe that guy's 20 years old. He looks 35. you got Maxi. You got Cesare Schrotty back. Ring. That core that midfield and that defending is just out of this world. When you have that, when you have all the pieces, it's just a completely different team. They're so hard to handle.
So Schrotty got the start over Medina, and Medina didn't play this game. Going in the playoffs, you think NYCFC, is that the lineup they should go with? You know, Medina and Schrotty are probably the two. I would say Medina, Schrotty, Matarrita are maybe the three that can, like, you can, depending on the formation, those are the three you can kind of, those are only two of them are going to get a spot, but those are the three that seem to be the most interchangeable.
Yeah, I mean, I would not change that lineup one bit just because it seems like it's so hot. And the worst thing that happens is you go into a game, let's say the Atlanta game. So they're playing Atlanta United in the next round, first game here in New York City. Let's say the first half of that game, they've got Cesare Schrotty on lock. You can switch him out for Medina in the 60th minute or at half. It's not that big of a deal.
I like the chemistry between Villa and Schrotty over the chemistry of Villa and Medina.
Yeah, because Medina, Villa and Medina on the field together is like a really bad school in the hood. Ain't no chemistry classes. Ain't no chemistry.
Wow, Alexis.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I know what school you went to. All right.
Oh, I had no chemistry. We had Bunsen burners, but we didn't have a chemistry class.
You were making different things in that classroom,
very
different, right?
That was much more of an entrepreneurial class.
Okay, it's not chemistry not class. Chemistry. It's not chemistry. It's not chemistry class. It's business class. All right,
business. B-I-D. N-E-S-S. All
right, teach. You gotta. I could teach you a thing or two about this business.
Teacher got an eye patch.
All right. So
it's a very different. Yeah. That Medina and Villa. That's that.
Yeah, I think they look good. I mean, it's not much. There's not much complication to that. I mean, as far as you know, NYCFC getting their first actual playoff win. I think this might be better. And I mentioned it before. I think this winning this game is probably better for them in the long run throughout the playoffs and just building that confidence, having that feeling of like we won this game and now let's keep going, as opposed to getting the bye, losing the first leg, being bummed, and then having a mountain to climb in the second leg. So, so props to them.
Props
so,
to them.
Let's move on. The next game, Portland against FC Dallas. So now we have to address this, right? Because the Cooligans curse. It seems to be. I don't know. I mean, it seems to be like a thing. It's a real thing. I don't want to believe it because, you know, I'll say this. FC Dallas did lose this game, right? At home to very few fans. There were very few people there. I think it was something around 10,000. This was just a general thing across the league. It was Halloween, whatever. But FC Dallas, ever since we went there, they have been losing. They've lost every game since.
Well, they can't lose anymore.
They can't lose anymore, so that's pretty good. Hey, all right, so bad. I don't know. So as of right now, they're undefeated in MLS because their record went back to zero. So
yeah, that's right. So they're good.
they're good, but they did lose a game before we got there. So I don't know. We didn't start the curse. That's what I'm saying. We might have piled on, but I don't think it's our fault. But they do lose this game to the Portland Timbers, and two goals from Diego Valeri, and just a lot in this game to take in. But first, the reason we're talking about this in this somber tone, right, is because you know our dad, our papi, he lost this game.
Papa.
And I don't. Papa Oscar Pereja, whose interview you may have heard this week already. If you haven't, go ahead and listen to that. It's the episode before this one that you're listening to. So I felt bad because I love my Timbers friends. I love my FC Dallas friends. You know, so it's difficult because somebody's gonna lose. But watching his post-game press conference, I don't know if you saw this, Alexis, but you know when we spoke to him, how soft-spoken he is, but he's soft-spoken but stern and very, very poignant and very, like, he almost can see through you. He speaks with so much emotion and passion, but it's subtle.
It's almost it's like a drill sergeant, but that knows you.
Yeah,
and he's whispering in your ear.
Yeah, he knows exactly what to say to like just shake you to your core. And he was in the press conference. He was just so sad. I mean, the expectations for FC Dallas were so high this year, especially with they were in first place, you know, for the last couple weeks, and then they really just dropped the ball the last three four games. So they lose this game, but Portland deservedly won, with the fact that just Valeri, the free kick, the first goal that he scored, was absolutely just gorgeous. And it was a, I want to say, Giovinco-esque free kick. A completely unstoppable free kick that there was no keeper in the world would have stopped it.
Two goalkeepers on opposite ends of the on opposite posts wouldn't have stopped that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much. And FC Dallas might need two goalkeepers because I don't know what Jesse Gonzalez was doing most of that game.
Well, he couldn't two stop goalkeepers. That. Jesse Gonzalez when he's good and Jesse Gonzalez like this last game.
It's so strange because, you know, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, he was in conversations to be the number one, the future number one for the U.S. men's national team. He switched from Mexico to play for the U.S. and it has, ever since that decision, he's been definitively a worse goalkeeper. It is a real shame because he had the year that they won the Supporters Shield and that they won U.S. Open Cup. He was a star. He was great. And then, you know, he's been losing his starting job this year and last year, and it's just such a strange thing to see. But the second goal that they gave up was, he couldn't have looked any worse. I mean, he outside, off his line, just flailing around, and still an amazing goal from Valeri. But there was a lot of that. He just poor decisions from Gonzalez, and it's just sort of concerning to the point where I don't think he might be the best option for goalkeeper at FC Dallas anymore. I don't know if that's necessarily
the... I think he is, but clearly his confidence and his consistency are shot. But, you know, he's just too good of a goalkeeper, I think, to... Maybe they just need more competition in training to keep him on his toes a little more, because he's had moments where he sort of slipped. But every once in a while, you just remember, like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's incredible.
It was weird because I was talking to a couple of FC Dallas supporters at the tailgate about Jesse Gonzalez a little bit, just like, you know, everybody, you know, when you're not a fan of a particular team and you don't know the fan base as well, just like some people may not know, like when Ben Sweat got a call up for the men's national team, you know, then there were so many people, you know, from MLS Twitter and just soccer Twitter were just like, yo, who is this dude? Who is this dude? And then it's like, it's on NYCFC fans to be like, yo, he's good. This is why he's good. And sort of defend the selection and explain sort of his experience and his career. And I was asking about Jesse Gonzalez, and people have like this weird like love hate relationship with him, where they just don't understand some of his decision making. But regardless,
he's also a kid, though. I mean, you know, you don't want a goalkeeper that's that young anyway. So if, you know, because if a goalkeeper makes a mistake or two or has a bad game, that's not like a midfielder having a bad game or making a mistake or two. When a goalkeeper makes mistakes, it's because the ball is being let in the goal. So it costs quite a bit. So
sure. That's what you want. It's just weird. It's just weird based on how great he was 2 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
That's but he's going to have ups and downs. I think he's just going to continue to get better. But you're taking a big risk by playing or starting a young goalkeeper. You just are. And this is the risk, is that sometimes, you know, they're very Jekyll and Hyde-ish.
Yeah. So regardless of that, I mean, the Timbers, you know, Laris Mabiala got a red card. And so this is what's surreal in the fact that this was at what, the 58th minute. It's the 58th minute, and you're only down 1-0, and you're up a man. FC Dallas not winning this game is a bigger loss for FC Dallas than it even, like, if they were even you know, on players, you sort of understand. But the fact that this losing when you're up a man for pretty much, you know, half an hour is kind of absurd. And then there was there was a goal that was denied by VAR that Reto Ziegler scored. This was in the 12th minute. But the reason this that happens all the time. But the reason this was interesting to me, I'm watching this game and I see that when he scored, he does the you know, he puts the ball under his shirt, like, you know, my wife is pregnant or whatever.
Yeah.
But then the goal was taken away. So I mean, to hurt somebody's feelings, that's the worst. That's the best celebration. That's the most exciting one, right? Where people are like, oh, cool, he's having a baby. And then video assistant referee is like, no, you're not allowed to have that baby anymore. We're taking that baby from you. You know, it's just like a terrible.
You saw that.
So VAR is like heartbreaking in a new way that I didn't really even think about beforehand.
Yeah, that's that. You know, I do love VAR, but it does suck when you take some of those personal moments away. But then also, don't you go celebrating before you know for sure.
Sure, I guess so. But yeah, you have to.
Props to Gio Savarese, man. I mean, the job he did. Remember when the season started? It looked like they weren't going to win a game ever.
Yes, I remember being at Rebel Arena for that 4-0 loss to the Rebels that they had. So they did not have a good start.
Yeah, and look at how far this team has come. I don't think anyone could sit here and tell you exactly what his tactics are. I don't think anyone can tell you how he's done it. But I know I can tell you this: he's done it, and the team is looking that more than anything. Portland looks fun. You know, and it's a different style of fun than like Atlanta. Atlanta's fun in that sort of structured, exciting style of talent or exciting level of talent. Portland is fun because you're like, you have no idea. Portland is a lot like a guy saying he's going to fight you. And he comes up to you with like his hands up like a boxer. And then all of a sudden you feel a kick in the back of the head. And you're like, I don't even see him move.
Sure, it's very talented pugilist.
Yeah, is there someone behind me? You know, that is Portland.
Yeah,
Portland. I wonder. Again, I want to say this. Can we just make up our own rules, MLS? Just find a way to get Piatti and Valeri on the same team. I love both of them so much.
they would be best buds out there, man. What a team that would be.
I'll bring the mate. I mean, Piatti's 33, right? So he's only got like a year or two left of being at this level. I mean, you got to find a way to get those two on the same team. It's just the two of them are just like such great leaders and they're so creative and they don't look like they're fast. You know, they look like they are subcontractors in Argentina. Like, they just don't look like they're athletes, and they're so slick and so good, and I hate it and I love it at the same time.
Yeah, they've been props. Portland has been I ask this question, maybe the Portland Timbers fans that are listening, are you obviously Caleb Porter won an MLS Cup and helped you guys win an MLS Cup, but I think Gio brings a different kind of energy, a different kind of passion. Like, and the like you said, the Timbers seem more fun to watch. Like, especially a player like Sebastian Blanco. I feel like the goals that they are scoring tend to be less scrappy, more stylish. They're having there's a little bit more creativity and fun happening. So I'm just asking, like, is it more fun to watch a Caleb Porter team or a Gio Savarese Timbers team? You know,
Caleb Porter because you know what you're getting with Gio Savarese. You just never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw his celebration after Valeri's goal. I mean, he looked like just fire was gonna like shoot out of his body. Man, he was into it.
Yeah, he looked like he got possessed.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I mean, and that's his resting face, his possessed face.
Possessed face?
that's Joseph Racer. He's an intense man. So, all right. So, let's move on to the Thursday night games. And, oh, boy. I mean, look, overall, these knockout games have been nuts. And there's a big call for a lot of Grant Wall, I think, posted this. A couple other people. I know Adrian Healy from ESPN also posted this about that the MLS playoffs should be all elimination games, like remove the second leg of the games because all the games should feel like these knockout games as opposed to, you know, how two leg games are where people defend. They try not to give up a goal at home and they're not really trying to attack. So
yeah, they're never going to do it just because this is the TV ratings bonanza that MLS expects every year. Yeah. This is what you wait for is the playoffs. This is the best. This is the most exciting time. This is when MLS does the best on TV that it does. They're never going to take away games. What they might do is add more teams. So only the last place in each division doesn't make the playoffs. And then it'll be all, you know, single game elimination. But let me tell you something. Speaking of MLS, these are not the results MLS wanted in any way, shape, or form. If you still think Don Garber completely has this thing rigged, you know you're wrong, just because Rooney and Zlatan are out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And LAFC is also out of the playoffs, and unfortunate. Right. So let's talk about this this game. Columbus Crew win this game again, another knockout game that they win in penalties. This happened last year against Atlanta. They go on the road and win in penalties. They play this game overall was scrappy, right? This the first two goals, a goal from Frédéric Briant, and then a goal from Pipa Higuaín. But
both of them were just like kind of trash goals in the sense that they weren't with the run of play. They were just very scrappy, punchery goals.
Sweaty goals, as they say, right? Briant, who we know very well from his time at NYCFC, getting his, I believe, first playoff goal. And, yes, but my concern was more, not his goal, but Zach Steffen's mistake that led to it. I mean, it was a great, like, chip from Lucho Costa, but Steffen should do better with that. Either parry it away, but don't just like get your fingertips on it. It looked like he finger rolled it to Briant's head so that he could tap it right in. It was unfortunate, and also because you're our future U.S. goalkeeper. I don't want to see you making mistakes like that, dog.
Yeah, bro, you're number one. Don't be Jesse Gonzalez-ing out here.
Okay, we expect a little bit more than that. But it's so weird because Zach Steffen. That's his game, right? He'll make a mistake or two, but then look what you put him in goal for penalties, and I mean, arguably he is the best penalty shot goalkeeper in MLS at the moment. Is that really up for debate?
It reminds me of, I can't remember where this was. Maybe it was Manchester United. Maybe it was with the national team. Do you remember when Louis van Gaal substituted the keeper just before penalties? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do recall this.
Yeah, I forgot the guy they brought in, but he was like just someone just very adept at stopping penalties, and it worked. He ended up winning the game, if I recall correctly.
It was just
that's who Zach Steffen will be in the future when he's too old to play a full 90.
Louis van Gaal just taps on his wrist and bring in the closer.
They
you
play
know?
Enter Sandman.
Mariano Rivera come in here.
Zachariah Stefano.
He did his thing, right? This game does go into extra time. Pipa Higuaín scores another goal in the 96th minute. A header he was inside the 18, but too far away for a header to go in. But props to him, man. He got it around Bill Hamid. It was just incredible.
The guy's timeless. He played. The guy's just timeless. And who has more fun than him on the field?
Yes. Nobody. No one does. No one's allowed to have more fun than Pipa. But then in the 116th minute, a goal from Nick De Leon.
A beast of a goal.
A great goal, man. Beautiful. He caught it. Was like on the volley, and then it went to the corner of the net or whatever. I don't know if it took a deflection, but just impressive. And this is the kind of stuff. Look, I mean, these are the kind of scenes we want to see at Audi Field, and just madness, right? So with that kind of momentum, you think, all right, DC United got this. They just tied it up. Go wrap it up in penalties. Who's up first? You put the captain. The dude came all the way. He came all the way from Liverpool, playing at Everton, right? He's like, oh, he's gonna take care of this. He's been a star all season, and he misses the penalty because of a stop from Zach Steffen. So Zach Steffen's like, yo, I don't know who you are. Okay, because when you were a star, I think I might have been 9 years old, all right? I wasn't paying attention to you. So he stopped Rooney's penalty cold, man. I mean, you just got to give him credit.
Just no respect for the European international legend.
So, if you didn't see the penalties, I mean, it ended on a skied ball from Nick De Leon. And it was, well, I don't know. I mean, too much. I don't even want to say if it's too much pressure on DC United. But I think once you see your keeper, I think Columbus, they go in so confident when they get to penalties. They're like, yo, if we can just make a couple of these, we know that our goalkeeper, we know Zach Steffen will stop a few of these. And we just got to give him a chance, right? And they did exactly that. And it seemed like the pressure, I think psychologically, once you know that you're in front of a keeper that's so good at stopping penalties, it affects you a little bit, right? And the pressure of the moment. And DC United couldn't cope, man.
We talked about this before on the podcast. You know, penalties are always, to me, on the person striking the ball, not the keeper. It's always either you confidently hit it, or you hit it in the wrong place, or you show which way you're going. You use some type of tell, or you lean into the same place you always go, and the keeper was able to read it, and that's that. Zach Steffen is sort of, remember when the NFL, they started calling timeouts just before really important field goals?
Yes.
Right, they started icing the keeper, or icing the kicker. That's exactly what Zach Steffen does just by standing there to the person about to attempt the penalty. It's insane.
Yeah. He's not a small dude either.
No.
You know, I mean, he's a imposing young man. Look, again, most people didn't expect. We were just thinking like, all right, you know, DC United, Red Bulls, they're about to have that rivalry, two legs. That'll be an entertaining series. Columbus. Look, we can't count them out. They do this. They seem to do this every year. Hopefully, they can do it over two legs. They're gonna have a big mountain to climb against the Red Bulls. But who knows? Who knows what could happen? I think easily this is a better matchup for the Red Bulls over DC United, but Red Bulls should have this. I mean, I assume they should be able to handle that pretty
comfortably. Last year, nobody wanted to play Atlanta, and Columbus was like, I'll do it, took them out. This year, yeah. Nobody wanted to play DC after that incredible second half of the season they had, and Columbus was like, nah, I'm good, we got this. Columbus is just like a momentum killer, man.
Sure. I mean, that's like really diminishing their accomplishments, because you're like Columbus is ruining all the fun. No, they won the game.
What I'm saying is they're able to take out the team nobody wants to play. That's a compliment. Maybe I didn't say it that way.
Sure. No. They're always. I mean, look, they did it against NYCFC last year, and they handled them well. I mean, so we'll see what happens.
And Jay Berhalter is playing for that men's national team job. Man, he is out here coaching for that job.
No, Jay Berhalter works for U.S. Soccer. Greg Berhalter is the guy that you are talking about.
I thought I said Greg Berhalter. Guys, it's 2:12 in the morning.
So, all right, man, this is what we do. All right, and final game. RSL goes to the bank to play against LAFC and leaves with a victory. 3-2 over LAFC. Again, we were just talking about it a couple of days ago. What did I say? I said, yo, RSL's going to go in there, just get washed by LAFC, okay? Just go through that car wash and come out less clean. They're going to come out there. You know, because LAFC fans were throwing beers all over the people.
All over everybody.
All over Nick Raimondo.
Poor,
right?
Nick Raimondo. So, his jersey must have weighed an extra 3 pounds.
So, this a very unexpected result. Nobody expected this. RSL has not been having the best of seasons, and given that they lost to Portland in their last game of the season, they were just waiting for LA Galaxy to hopefully lose and, you know, to get them into the playoffs, and that's exactly what happened. But props to those boys, man. They played with some heart. They really they were incredible defensively. They give up the two goals, but still, man, the goals they gave up, especially the goal from Christian Ramirez, was just unreal. This dude doesn't even, Taylor Twellman was talking about it, he was just like, the dude doesn't even touch the ball. They don't even want to pass it to him, right, unless he's making a run towards goal. But he takes 1-2 touches and bang, and he's able to score from almost anywhere.
It's all he does, and he keeps doing it.
It was impressive. It's just weird because when Christian Ramirez has a bad game, I would argue that Christian Ramirez always has bad games, right? Where, like, he can score 3 goals, but he still have a bad game where, like, he didn't get all the touches he really needed. He didn't make the passes, accurately or whatever, but he's still scoring goals. The dude scores goals, and he does it well. You just have to set him up to do that. But his goal is incredible, really. Damir Krylak was... the karate kick goal, as all of Twitter is saying, right? It's just one of these things of like, you do that in the regular season and cool, but to have the composure to do that and make it in a playoff game, in a knockout game, where if he does that karate kick and it sails into 3-2-5-2, you're like, come on, bro, what are you doing? Like, you don't even have a high enough FIFA skill rating to do a shot like that. So what are you wasting your time for? But he absolutely nailed it. It was just gorgeous.
He said in the post game that he tried it once or twice in training. Bruh, I mean, I would imagine if anybody tried that in training, the coach would be like, stop it, go run 3 laps, don't ever do that in the game.
Yeah, that's one of those things, one of those shots where I remember, and I'm not saying Damir Krylak is Zinedine Zidane, but I remember hearing Zidane mention once that he, to improve his shots, like he would have someone cross the, like, so basically cross the ball from the right side, and he would have to take like 50 bicycle kicks or 50 like a scissor kick. So he's like, I want to be super comfortable with this. So I'm going to, even though this may not come up many times in an actual game, I want to be prepared for it. So that seemed like one of those things where Krylak was like, oh yeah, let me mess around with this little karate kick thing and see how it goes. And he was in the ball bounced right to him on the volley, like caught it perfectly. And yeah, there's nothing else, but like it's just one of these things, especially in MLS and in the playoffs. We don't casually see that, right? And so it made it even more fun.
You don't see that anywhere. Never mind here. We certainly don't see goals of that nature. But yeah, that's not something you see on a weekly basis in the Prem or in La Liga or in Serie A. It was absolute insanity, that goal. I mean, it just...
American soccer, baby. Get used to it.
A lot like Gishmo Shradi's goal. I don't understand how it travels in that direction when it's been kicked in that direction. You know what I mean? Like, scientifically, it doesn't make sense.
So they end up winning this game with that third goal from Jefferson Savarino, which I'm surprised it was credited to Jefferson Savarino, because it clearly bounced off of Walker Zimmerman's face, and it deflected in. That didn't necessarily look like it was on goal, but it seemed like more of a cross. But he's credited with a playoff goal, and maybe not the best way for LAFC. They don't want to lose that way, right? But it is what it is, man. They couldn't. They just didn't. They didn't seem as sharp as they normally do. But my biggest surprise is that they gave up 3 goals. I didn't expect LAFC to give up 3 goals in their first playoff game. Just that throughout the season, I don't know what their goals allowed is this year, but they don't regularly give up 3 on people like that.
No, and you know what? To be at home, first playoff game in the history of your club, it's a little embarrassing to give up 3 goals. That said, they had a great season. You got into the playoffs your first year. I know Atlanta did it last year, but you also did it this year. Absolutely incredible. And for the entire season, people have been talking about how their back line is their weakness. It seems like there's just no good back lines in Los Angeles in total, but that's their biggest weakness.
Yeah, well, Siani, did they transfer?
Fix that.
Did they transfer Siani to LAFC? What are they doing out there?
Yeah. I feel like Siani isn't even allowed anywhere near the rest of the playoff teams. Like, don't even come check out the game.
The weird thing about this game, especially towards the end, was Mark Geiger reffing this game. But Mark Geiger, apparently his watch broke, because he gave 7 minutes – of extra time. So it, I feel like when it comes to these conspiracies over MLS narratives, that's where I'm like, all right, hold on a sec. 7 minutes. It's like, is Garber calling in, you know, into Geiger's ear being like, yo, slow it down a little bit, okay?
Give him the old, Manchester United treatment, the old Sir Alex Ferguson, Fergie time.
Yeah. So it felt very odd, and then there was an injury to Luke Mulholland after
kicked in the face,
kicked in the head by Walker Zimmerman. I mean he put his head down. I mean it's kind of crazy of him, but they're trying to hold on to that victory. But
yeah, he headbutted Walker Zimmerman's incoming foot.
How dare he? Is Walker Zimmerman's foot okay?
Oh,
everybody,
my God. Put his foot on the stretcher.
But that was probably like, it felt like it was like 2 minutes, maybe three. And Geiger seemed to add like, all right, let me add another 10 minutes to this game because we're gonna go home when I feel like going home. All right, yeah. I've been having a good time out here. So unfortunate, and LAFC fans, we feel for you. We feel for you. It's rough out here, man. This is always the time when their MLS season dwindling, and then playoff teams start to dwindle, and then it's like, I'm tired of these cooligans. I don't want to listen anymore. But no, stay with us, man. Maybe we'll make you feel a little bit better. You know, LAFC, DC United, FC Dallas, Philly. You know, stick around, man. There's still a lot of fun to be had.
Yeah, and plus there's going to be a lot of movement and stuff, right? Your teams aren't going to stay exactly the same. Yeah, unless you're Philly, you know what I mean? So, listen in.
Philly will have the same lineup for the next 26 years. Get used to it.
They're going
to
pay a lot of TAM for a player nobody else wanted.
Okay, all right. But that's their system, all right? And it'll work one day.
Trust the process.
That's how they do in Philly. So that's it. That's it for these knockout rounds, where we'll be back on Wednesday next week talking about the first leg of these other four games. So we have to get to our interview with the Sporting Kansas City man, left back for SKC, Seth Sinovic. He joined us on the show, and we had a great time talking to him, and I know that you guys are going to enjoy that as well. So you want to get right to it, Alexis?
Yeah, let's do that. Why don't we take a break and get right to that interview? And I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
All right, we'll be right back with Sesinovic.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to this special episode of The Cooligans. We just want to break in right before our interview with Sesinovic with a word from our sponsor.
On the Volley Apparel. On the Volley Apparel, you know, they make our gulliest tees. They handle the Cooligans merch, but they it's not exclusively that. If you want some dope gear, you want some tees, you want some tank tops, and some dope like just soccer / hip-hop inspired streetwear, On the Volley Apparel is the site you need to go to. So go to onthevolleyapparel.com. Make sure you use the promo code Cooligans and you will get 20% off your entire order. And the stuff is already super cheap. You know, like our gulliest tee is only $20 on the site, right? But if you use the discount, the Cooligans discount, it comes out to $16, Alexa. $16.
That's insane. Also, you get 20% off everything in the store. So it's not just the gulliest shirt. It's not just your Cooligans gear. Bro, you're getting it on everything. And On the Volley Apparel is always releasing new stuff. So go to their website. Go to onthevolleyapparel.com. Check it out. Put in Cooligans. Get 20% off everything. And then, I don't know, maybe say a thank you, you know?
Yeah, a little thank you. That'd be nice, you know? And I want to add this too, because On the Volley not only makes like just clothing, like streetwear, like leisure wear, but you can also get a shirt that you can actually play in. Also, maybe you have a team somewhere and you want your team to have jerseys. Like, On the Volley can do that for you too. So you can work with them to make custom stuff as well. So don't, it's not just the stuff that they have on the site. So keep it, always keep it in mind if you, if there's ever anything that you may want to create that might be kind of cool. They offer really good deals. So keep that in mind as well. So again, on thevolleyapparel.com, use the promo code Cooligans and you will receive 20% off your entire order.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are back. All right. So this is, we're excited because not only are we doing an episode to cover the, these knockout rounds, but we have a special guest today, and we spoke to his homie a couple weeks ago.
We already spoke to the fam. Now we're getting this player has been was mentioned throughout that entire interview. Yes. So we're like, well, we got to get him on the podcast next.
Exactly. Right? We can't just keep bad mouthing him without him around.
Yeah, and I don't think he listens. So now he's gonna, because you said bad mouth. But you know him as a left back for Sporting Kansas City, doing wonderful things over on the Western Conference and in the playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Seth Sinovic, everybody.
Hey, Seth.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem.
Thank you for joining us. So I think we should get this out of the way immediately, just so, Sporting Kansas City fans listening, people from across the other fans of other teams. There was a decision day was very decisive for you in particular because of a red card that was issued. And Alexis and I did talk about this on our last podcast. And just to tell you where we stood before you even say anything, I was on Team Seth. I'm like, nah, man, I don't know if that was clear. I don't think that was the correct call.
Me too, dude. I was like, yo, that's trash. I can't believe you did my boy like that.
Alexis was, he was like, oh, no, I can see how they would give a red there.
Well, here's my point, and I'll explain why just before you get angry, Seth. the reason I said that is because if your arm, I think if this was also the official ruling, if your arm wasn't there, the ball would have gone in. So they're saying, well, there was no goalkeeper behind you to stop it. You were the last line of defense, so it had to count as a red card. Go ahead, say your worst.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'll give you the political answer here.
Yeah, you have to.
I still personally, and I've seen videos that make it look really bad and make it look like it hit my arm, and I still believe that it actually didn't hit my arm. It kind of hit me in the armpit, but. I can definitely see the argument against that. But in the end, like that's the call that was made. And, I put myself in a situation by having my arm extended to have that whole situation be questioned. So, I'm at fault for nothing else other than that. If there's anything I'm at fault for, that would be the main thing. Just having my arm extended, and you know, I can't put myself in a situation or the referee in a situation to have to make that call. So
this is why I have
it is
so
what
much...
it is. We're just gonna have to move on from it, and I've got complete faith in our team to get a result wherever we're at on Sunday.
This is why I have so much respect for you guys as soccer players, because. There's nothing in me. There's just nothing that would be put on the line where I would not answer that. How I know you kind of want to, and not just you specifically, Seth, but players want to answer in these moments because we're all emotional beings. You know what I mean? Like if I went to a deli and my sandwich came out wrong and they told me that it was my fault because I didn't say what I wanted, I'd be like, I wouldn't be like, well, you know, I got to respect the deli owner. And, you know, as a professional, I think what I did wrong was maybe not speak up. Is I would never do that. I would be yelling at everyone. I'd be throwing deli meat at people. So I got a lot of respect for you, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, even if they come out and say at this point, oh, I guess we didn't appeal, but like, I don't know, even if down the line, like somebody tells me that, they made the wrong call, it doesn't really change anything. And I mean, I don't know if you watched the game at all or saw highlights right after the red card came out. I didn't really even like try to argue it because the referee's not going to change his mind at that point. So it's just going to irritate me even more and get me even more fired up. So I just went straight to the locker room and vented a little bit in there, I would say.
There you go. Let me ask you a question. In any situation, and not specifically red card situations, in any of those situations where you do something and you're like, oh, I hope no one saw that, you know, like that's probably happened throughout your career. I'm not specifically talking about this last situation. Is it ever in your mind to like, yo, play it off, walk away, do something to make it look like you didn't do anything bad. Maybe try to help the guy up. Does that go through your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. especially with VAR, it's, it's a little bit different because if you can, you know, if you can get the play off before the ref gets, you know, notification from the VAR that there might need to be a check, you know, sometimes you can play through it. So, you know, if there's like a questionable, I don't know, penalty decision, in our defensive box, and if we can get, you know, Tim Mealy to play the goal kick as quickly as possible or get the play going, sometimes you can even eliminate the opportunity for VAR. So, yeah, that's, you're definitely aware of that stuff.
That's awesome.
All right. I'm loving it. Yeah. I mean, this, it's very much real CONCACAF, you know?
Yeah, it's real CONCACAF-y right there. I like it. We respect that on this podcast.
So, yeah, like it is interesting just hearing that response, because, you know, frankly, we never really get to talk to players about how they kind of handle that kind of adversity. Because I know nobody wants to miss a playoff game. But Sporting Kansas City has been playing well, and you are an MLS veteran. I mean, you were just talking about like composing yourself very well and not overreacting over the red card. But that sounds like that, and that looks like something of someone who's been in the league a while, who knows how to help the team, even if something didn't go their way.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's opportunities to talk to the ref and, you know, get frustrated and things like that. But, you know, like I said, it's a lot of the times it's not going to really make a big difference. But especially in a situation like that where there's, you know, multiple guys in front of the referee trying to make their case, you know, there's a time and place to have conversations with a ref, and most of the refs are really good as far as dialogue with the players and trying to make sure everybody's on the same page and things like that. But, yeah, it was not easy to keep my composure in that situation. Especially considering the ramifications, not only for what could have happened in that game, but, you know, missing a playoff game, the second year in a row, unfortunately, I'm going to miss the first playoff game. So, you know, hopefully, like I said, I've got tons of confidence in the guys to get a result on Sunday, and I'll be ready to go for the second leg.
Yeah, but last year was a knockout round game, right, against Houston. Yes. That you had to miss.
Yeah, but I had a back spasm the morning before we left for Houston. So
that sucks.
That's gotta suck.
that was pretty unfortunate as well.
Yeah, but whatchamacallit? Regarding this year, you're going to be playing at least in the second leg, correct? Hopefully, right?
Assuming.
Say that one more time. It looks like your mic dropped out.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, assuming you know, if the coach puts me in, I will be ready to go. Yes. All right, cool.
That's awesome. So yeah, you're going to get a chance to be in the playoffs. What are you? I mean, look, you guys have had a completely different season than you had last year. Last year, I believe you finished in fifth, if I'm not mistaken. This year, you're top of the West, all the way up there. You know, the crowds are amazing at SKC. Having a good year, how does it feel? How does it feel being, you know, a part of this sort of bit more of a resurgence?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think the past 4 years we've been in an away game for the knockout round, and that's really difficult to win on the road in this league, and especially in a playoff game. So that was a goal of the team to get one of those top two seeds going into the year. And, you know, obviously we accomplished that, but it's exciting. It's, like you said, we've got a great fan base and a great atmosphere at our stadium, and the fans deserve a playoff game, and we're extremely happy to be able to provide that this year.
So when we had Matt Beisler on the podcast a couple weeks ago, he did talk a lot about yours and his friendship, and apparently you guys been friends, I believe, since about 9 years old, if I'm not mistaken,
or at least playing together, correct?
We've been playing together since we were 7 or 8 years old, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, we play on the same club team all through grade school, high school, and then first year back from college. So, yeah, we've been playing together for a long time.
We joked a lot about, given that you guys have been playing together for a very long time, there must be some just incredible chemistry, right? Is there any instance where either of you make a mistake and you can just be like, Matt, are you serious? Like, you've been making this mistake since you were 7 years old.
Yeah, bro, you haven't learned yet?
It's interesting because, I mean, you know, you want to hold guys accountable and things and stuff like that. But, you know, when Matt makes a mistake, I it's tough for me to get on him because I know most of the time what he's trying to do, and he's obviously not trying to make mistakes and things like that. But, we don't really need to hold each other accountable as much because we know what we expect from each other. And, it's kind of second nature. It's, I don't know if it's because we grew up playing in the same club and we've kind of got the same ideas and we're developed in the same way as soccer players, but it's definitely been fun playing with him.
Yeah, but on top of that, it can just be like, you know, if either of you makes a mistake, like either of your parents will yell at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, everybody's on each other.
You know, I was actually... Yeah. So we were in Dallas for the Soccer Hall of Fame opening, and I was there for the game between you and FC Dallas. And I before I went into the stadium, I saw a big group of Sinovic fans or family. Was there a huge contingent of Seth Sinovic fans or family there? Because I saw a big group with a lot of people with your jersey.
Yes. So my wife is actually from the Dallas area, and her mom's side of the family lives about a mile away from the stadium. So
oh, wow.
She got a whole contingent of family to come out for the game, and we got them a bunch of jerseys. And so that's what you were seeing there.
Yeah. It was an SKC home game. That was so
basically,
many.
Yeah.
We had family aside, we had a pretty big group of fans out there from the Cauldron as well. So.
Yeah. Also, you guys recruit from, I mean, it's not, first of all, it's like not incredibly far, right? They don't have to fly across the country, but you guys recruit youth players from all over the country. So there's like family and friends of kids that are in the academy in Dallas. You guys, SKC has this amazing, you know, academy system and recruitment system. Talk a little bit about that, about what it's like to see this youth coming up, especially someone who's probably, I mean, at this point, you're probably exhausted of playing with Matt Beisler. You're like, I get it. You know, we've been doing this forever. Let's bring some of these kids and let's see what they got in training. What's that like to, I mean, do you find yourself being, you know, maybe a bit more of a mentor now?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's kind of irritating sometimes because we go out for practice and I'm like taking 15, 20 minutes to like get prepared for warmups. And these guys are going out and like shooting like rockets from the 18 yard box. Like, how are you not pulling your quad?
They ain't even stretching. It's annoying.
Yeah. It's really annoying. But in all seriousness, they're all really good kids, and they're really mature for their age too, which is kind of the most surprising thing. So the beginning of this year, Gianluca Busio is one of the young guys for us, and I'm sure you guys have seen him a little bit.
Yeah, we call him Lil Baby Buse.
Yeah, or Lil Busio. It's a Lil Busio.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. So he was 15 to start this year, and I live about like a mile away from him. So I was driving him to practice for the first 3 or 4 months of the year till he turned 16 and he could get his license. So I got to hang out with him quite a bit, and some of the other guys, they really have acclimated really well with the team and get along with the group really well. And it's been a lot of fun having them. It kind of gives us a fresh breath, if you will.
Yes.
If Gianluca Busio,
I was going to say, Seth had to take Gianluca Busio trick or treating.
Yeah. you gotta wipe his chin. If you guys are eating something on the way back, you all right there? Maybe help him with the seatbelt. if he flexes on you in practice and training, you just leave his ass there, right? You're like, yeah, Uber. I'm not driving you back.
Yeah, I've accidentally left him a couple times.
There you go. All right. That's what we like to hear.
You're just sitting on the sidewalk.
Yeah, you got to remind him. It's a power move. You got to remind him who has the keys, who has the license. Talking a little bit about you and Matt Beisler, you guys, how has that friendship developed? Because we know you guys have started a business together, but you guys play, on the same team. You've been on the same team since you were little kids. How is that? You know, you talk a little bit about the chemistry. You don't really have to like sort of hold each other accountable. But how does that relationship developed where, you know, you sort of have been working together for so long?
Yeah, it's been interesting because, growing up, we were definitely friends, and we would run into each other's groups of friends because we went to different high schools. So we'd see each other occasionally, but we weren't, I wouldn't say we were really good friends at that time. But once I came back to Sporting Kansas City, things just kind of took off from there. He was in my wedding this past year. We've just become a lot closer. I don't know if that's just playing together or rooming together on the road, but the friendship's really developed. It's been fun. It's just, it's hard to explain, but we're, especially on the field, we're so aware of each other's tendencies, and it's a really easy game to play when it's he and I on that left side, because we, like I said, we know each other's tendencies. We're comfortable with what our expectations of each other. And it's been a fun ride.
Well, can you talk about your time in supporting Kansas City? I know Matt talked about it as well. I mean, you are from Kansas City, and you end up back playing, for that your home club. What has that meant to you? And how has it been seeing that the growth of that fan base in the area?
Yeah, it's been incredible. So I was drafted to New England originally and played a decent amount my rookie year and got released about a month into into my second year. I went on trial with Salt Lake. They didn't want to sign me, and then went to Kansas City on trial. And at the time, Kansas City was kind of going through a transition phase. They had just switched from the Kansas City Wizards to Sporting Kansas City. And the ownership group was about 2 years into their purchase. And it was kind of an interesting time for the club. And not knowing a lot of what was going on at the time, I was a little hesitant coming back to Kansas City, as much as it was exciting to be able to be in front of family and friends. I was a little nervous when I initially signed, but didn't have a lot of options other than that. But I couldn't be happier with how it's turned out, and to see what we've always had very loyal fans from the start in 96 with the Wizards going on, but to see what it's grown to today and the fan base and the city, it's just really taken off and become a soccer town. Whereas it was not like that in the inaugural days of the Kansas City Wizards. So it's been really cool to be a part of. It's always fun when you're successful and winning. And fortunately we've been successful over the last 9 years or so. So it's been fun, and I think we've got quite a few more good years to come here.
I did also want to ask, because speaking of the Kansas City Wizard, we have a good friend that played there, Jimmy Conrad.
You might have heard his name.
Yeah. what is your Jimmy Conrad has become a little bit of a mascot for Sporting Kansas City. You know, when he's out there, he gets a lot of love and support. What is your relationship with Jimmy Conrad? I'm just out of curiosity.
I actually don't know Jimmy that well. I'll see him when he's coming in town, and we'll have the familiar greetings and things like that. But he was a couple years before me, and I didn't have the opportunity to play with him. So my relationship's pretty limited with him, but he's certainly a huge advocate for Sporting Kansas City, the Wizards, and Kansas City in general. It's Kansas City's a pretty prideful city, and everybody's very proud to be from Kansas City and represent Kansas City. And I think Jimmy's no different, having played here for a long time.
It's probably best to keep him at arm's length. So.
Yeah, you're probably at a better – yeah, this is a better result that you're not friends with him. Let me ask you a question, because you're from Kansas City, Missouri. For those of us, who live in the New York area, we don't get it, okay? Your same city is in two different states, okay?
That is correct.
What is happening?
Let me correct you real quick there. I'm actually from the Kansas side, so.
Are you? Well, someone needs to update your Wikipedia, okay? Because that is ridiculous. What is the difference between the two? Like, is there culturally a difference?
I hear that the Missouri side is the better side, but I mean, you can debate that.
Well, growing up a Kansas basketball and football fan, I'm going to argue with that and say I like the Kansas side better. It's interesting because I literally grew up about a quarter mile away from the state line. So there's a road called State Line Road, and
very creative.
I went to a high school that literally sits on the Missouri side of the state line. So it's not hard to go back and forth between Kansas and Missouri, but I think each side provides great things. The downtown area is on the Missouri side. The Chiefs and Royals are on the Missouri side, and then you get Sporting Kansas City on the Kansas side. So a lot of good things about both.
Is there any real rivalry between the two sides, or does nobody really care about it?
I think it's more so from the collegiate aspect of things, because Kansas State and Missouri, University of Missouri, were all in the Big 12 one time. Missouri left for the SEC not too long ago, but there's a lot of collegiate rivalries. But when it comes to the professional sports teams, there's a lot of camaraderie there.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a big KU fan. And he's always yelling rock chalk, and I have no clue what that means.
Sure. I heard that's that new drug they're doing out in the Midwest.
And I'm like, you need to stop doing that rock chalk, buddy. You're going to lose the kids. He loves that, but he hates anyone who walks by in a Mizzou shirt or jersey And I'm like, isn't it the same thing? And then I got to listen to half an hour of him explaining how it's not. And you know, I just don't get it.
We're not, and I guess in New York,
we don't get collegiate sports.
Yeah, we're not really used to it because we have like 42 professional teams, and you know, nobody wants to go to college out here.
Nobody wants to go. Nobody cares. It's not for sports. I think the only sport that was a college sport that was like what St. John's, like, and that's in the 80s. No one's talking about that. You know.
So Seth, we do want to ask about state soccer. We did talk about it with Matt Beisler, and so
you should have called it two state soccer. Because the city's in two states. It makes no sense.
Go for it.
It's pretty funny listening to the like Kansas City jokes and things like that. I think there was a I don't know if you guys seen the movie A Million Ways to Die in the West, but he makes a joke about Kansas being how weird.
Can you repeat that? Because your mic went out again.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I was saying there's a movie called A Million Ways to Die in the West. It's a I forget his name, the guy that does Family Guy, but Seth MacFarlane makes a joke about Kansas City being in two different states and then how weird it is, and I don't know, you get that joke quite a bit.
We found the person who watched The Million Ways to Die.
All right, that one review.
There you go.
Here he is.
So let's talk about the states, because you are now in the fashion business. All right, we're in New York. Okay, we're recording this right out of Saks Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, we
right?
get it, bro.
So what is it like getting into that the fashion business, and were you coerced by your friends to get into this, or were you like, oh, I'm all about this?
I wouldn't say I was coerced. So Matt and I, and then another one of our owners, Daniel Curley, he was on our same club team growing up, and we've stayed friends throughout the years, like I said, especially after college. And the idea just kind of came, and I wouldn't say I'm like the most fashionable person in the world as far as, you know, your typical view of fashion goes, but you know, I feel like States is pretty unique in the fact that we have two current professional soccer players that you know about the training gear and the off the field gear and things like that. So it's been a lot of fun. It's definitely been challenging and a lot of different things as far as the business side of things that I wasn't aware of going into it, but it's been a learning experience, and you know, it's been fun. We're excited about it.
Well, is there anything in particular that you didn't expect about getting into this business that kind of took you by surprise, or something you didn't know was a big part of starting your own like clothing line?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was just the logistics side of it and the supply chain side of it and how much goes into that. You know, we've got a couple guys, like I said, Daniel Curley and then Ryan Van Gothen, who are a little bit more familiar with the business side of things and have been extremely helpful. And like I said, learning quite a bit as well. So it's been fun, but yeah, more so the logistics and supply chain side of things, I would say.
Yeah, my sister runs a fashion line as well. It's athletic as well. They actually do some soccer jerseys around the world. And every once in a while, we'll all be, you know, I'll go visit my family. I should just get up from the dinner table. And she's like, there's a million jerseys stuck at the port, you know? And I'm like, the hell are you talking about? You know, I said, pass the turkey. You know what I mean? What are you doing? So yeah, I totally get it. She's shared some of that information with me. I know how difficult it could be to run a brand when you're getting it made and assembled in different places and, you know, sizes and all that.
I just know if Seth needs to go to the docks and pick up a shipping crate.
Yeah, he's carrying a pipe in his hand. He's here to make sure his package gets delivered. I can't get a red card on the dock. You know,
that's true.
What is your goal with this brand? We talked a little bit to Matt about it, but what is the hope? Right now it's more of an athletic sort of, you can kind of go from the field to sort of maybe like a movie or a date with what you're wearing, or vice versa, because you'll stink on that date if you're going from the field. But it's kind of like a casual slash athletic brand, right?
Yes. And it's, I think, you know, more so than just the apparel side of things, I think it's just another way that we're trying to connect people with the game of soccer, you know, in kind of like you guys are doing with your podcast. You know, I don't know if you guys would agree, but in America, we don't feel like soccer really gets the recognition it deserves. And I don't know, I think you guys with comedy do a really good job of bringing that to light and bringing soccer to light. And This is just another way that we feel like we can do it with, you know, with clothing. We have an editorial and, just open to doing a lot of different things that are, going to be helpful to bringing soccer to the forefront, because, I think you guys would probably agree as well that soccer is growing pretty rapidly in the, in America, and hopefully we can continue to help that.
Yeah, and maybe we can even talk very quickly about that. What has been your experience as a player? I know as a fan, I know for me personally, it was like, you know, I used to casually play FIFA and, you know, on PlayStation, and now it's become like my life, you know, and it's become more, the game in itself has become more part of American culture. What has that been like as a player? Because I know as comedians, sometimes recognition is all we want. That's literally all we're doing. That is the whole purpose of the business that we are in. And when as a player that is involved in a field that they're very passionate about but doesn't always get the most recognition, how does it feel from where you were and to where the sort of game is now, and how you feel you contribute to it?
I think it's so cool to where soccer is right now in the United States, and it's only going to grow from here. But, you know, just looking back at, you know, youth soccer days and the start of MLS, and, you know, in particular, youth soccer, you know, everybody plays, all pretty much every kid played youth soccer, I would say. But eventually they grow out of it. They play different sports. They go to high school, go to college and do their thing. And, you know, soccer is kind of forgotten about. And to see where MLS has started and where it is today and the fan bases and how much it's grown, how much money is being put into the sport by owners and investors, not only for bringing new players and new talent into the league, but through academy systems, it's just so crazy to see where soccer is today compared to where it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And it's great to see, it's been great to be a part of that growth, and see, or hopefully people in America are starting to recognize what everybody else around the world recognizes, which is that it's a great sport. It's a extremely entertaining sport, and it's a very challenging sport to play as well. So hopefully people are starting to appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the last question is, we talked to Matt and we were talking about how you guys, he's a center back and you're a left back, so you guys have been playing the same position. And he told us that you started out a bit more forward, and throughout your career, you've slid back to the back line. How much?
Yes.
Every once in a while, when you got the ball in your hand, or maybe when you play FIFA, you put yourself up front. You know what I mean?
Well, you shouldn't put the ball in your hand.
What I mean? I mean, when you have the ball, I mean, you know what I mean? When you have the ball at your feet, how bad do you want to go up there and be like, yo, the kid still got it. Let me show for me is what I got.
I try and sneak my way up there a little bit during games. Yeah, I was the kid growing up that was really, really fast, and everybody caught up to me pretty quickly. But in the early years, I would just stand at half field, and they would kick it, and I would run it down and try and go score that way. But, yeah, I slowly moved my way back to defending the slower I got. and the less athletic I got. So, it's been an interesting transition. And Matt himself was a midfielder, and then I think he moved to center back in college. So we've both made some adjustments through the years.
Sure. Well, I'm curious, are there any particular players? I know whenever, you know, MLS, I feel like every season, and you've experienced it personally, where like there's a new team, there's a big new designated player signing. Any particular players that you are like, man, I hate that they signed that dude. I hate having to keep up that I have to mark this guy. Is anybody in particular that you're like, oh, this person on this team is going to give me a hard time?
Or inverse, you'd be like, yo, they ain't nothing. Why we sign this dude as a DP? I got him in my pocket.
Yeah, I get excited when the big name signings come in. I really enjoy playing against those guys, as cliche as that might sound. I do enjoy the challenge. Some of the more difficult, like Carlos Vela with LAFC, he's an extremely difficult guy to guard, but it's fun going up against him because you start to learn tendencies and start to learn how to defend those guys. Elise in Houston is the fastest human being alive in my eyes. I struggled with him the first time I faced him, but did a lot better the second time. So it's fun to to learn new things about different players and learn how they play and hopefully adjust and be successful as you go on. But yeah, I definitely enjoy the challenges.
Sure. It's like a chess match.
Yeah. We met Albert Elise very quickly at MLS All-Star, and it seems like he's head, neck, shoulders, and then his legs start right from there. That dude's stride is insane. It's horse-like. I'm like, he took two steps and he was out of the room.
he is so, so fast. I know everybody probably tells you he's fast, but he is faster than everybody tells you he is.
So. LA Galaxy learned, even a team that's out of the playoffs, it doesn't mean that the team is not good.
That's true.
And they clearly showed.
Well, I'll say this, as far as you going forward, hey, if Graham Zuzzi could do it, you could do it, all right? It's not just for the right winger. You get in there, bruh. We want to see a little Cetsinovic scoring in the playoffs.
I'll see what I can do. That's when, actually, not that I score a lot of goals, but that's when the majority of my goals have come in my career. So
that's right.
It's the important ones.
Yo, you game time. You in the spotlight. You like let everyone else shine a little bit. But when the money's on the line, I'll be right there.
This is American soccer. Regular season, never heard of it.
Never heard of it. I'm a playoff player, baby. Well, listen, we wish you the best with state soccer, you and Matt. And what was the other dude's name? Curly?
Daniel Curley and Ryan Van Gothen. Yes.
Ryan and Daniel, I wish all you guys the best. And where can people find it?
You can go to states.soccer. There's no .com or anything. On the internet, and we also have a couple pop-up shops that are going to be opening up here in the next month or so here in Kansas City. So it's been exciting, and it's a lot of fun, and I appreciate you guys having us on.
Absolutely. That was a blast. Thank you so much.
All right, best of luck.
I got one more thing for you. Sorry. I hope you guys know that we are 2-0 when I get red carded. So just a little side note there.
Well, then do it more often.
Take a little vacation.
Yeah, do it more often. Just high five Peter Vermes on the way out. Say you're welcome, baby. The streak continues.
Just every playoff game, Seth is just mushing the ref.
Yeah. As soon as the first whistle, you just walk up to him, mush him, be like, peace out. Thanks for the dub.
Whatever it takes to get the W.
That's it, baby. Well, Seth, this was an absolute blast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much, Seth Cernovic. What a wonderful interview.
What a great dude. What a great human being. Thank you. Seth was mad chill, you know? Like, when we spoke to his homie, right? We spoke to Matt Beisler. Matt was a little bit more, like, you can see the balance in that relationship, right? Matt was, like, the more, the guy that, I could picture Matt Beisler giving out noogies, you know? And I could picture Seth Cernovic receiving noogies. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That's exactly how I picture that relationship. Seth is like the, come on, do we have to, you know? But they seem to have, fun. And this is kind of like why I love interviewing American soccer players, because you really get like sort of behind. When you see them on the field, they just always look so intense and so just always focused. And you never get to see what they're like when they're relaxed, other than their friends or family. But we bring that to you. We bring you that content. We're not asking the same questions everyone asks. We out here finding out the real.
Yeah, we bring out that relaxed soccer player. You don't get that. All right, they're real chill.
Only the wags do that.
So we give you an inside look at what they're really like, all right? So thank you again to Seth, supporting Kansas City, for helping make that happen. Best of luck to you guys in the playoffs. I know Seth is not going to be there in that first leg, but he'll be there in that second leg, and it's going to be great. So who does Sporting Kansas City play, right? We know now. What are the matchups?
Let me look this up.
That's a great question
we could have asked off air. Give me one second here.
No, let's sort that out. Sporting Kansas City will be playing RSL.
It doesn't say. Oh, RSL. Does it?
Yeah, RSL. They just updated it. So they'll be playing RSL and Western Conference. Seattle is going to be playing Portland. All right, so this is going to be dope.
Cascadia.
Oh man, this is going to be intense. So that's a good RSL winning that game made that Seattle Portland matchup possible. So so thank you RSL for giving us a sweet old matchup that for two teams that just hate each other so much. It's so fun. So
we have Columbus
Columbus against the New York Red Bulls. and NYCFC against Atlanta. This is going to be fun. This is a good the biggest problem right now with MLS is that we have these two games in the next two Sundays, and then we have an international break that always ruins it for all of us, you know.
Kills all the momentum too. All this goodwill you've built through all the playoffs, you just shoot yourself right in the foot.
Yeah. But we deal with it. You know, American soccer is great, and it is. There's no flaws, and we don't need to change a thing, right?
Not one thing. We love you just the way you are.
So, guys, thank you again for listening to this episode, this special episode. And make sure if you want to help keep these things happening, join the Gully Squad, man. I mean, we're trying to create a community of people that can help. You know, curate the show and hear the stuff that they want to hear about, and if you appreciate what we do, and we want to give you something a bit more tailored to what you're interested in, and then on top of that, you know, once you're in this secret society of the Gully Squad, a secret Facebook group, you know, you can talk to each other, communicate and chat it up, get to know people from other cities. You know, like the cool thing about what we've been doing is like it's awesome when people, you know, we travel to one city and then another, and then like, you know, on Twitter, people start communicating with each other, and then like, then they become friends and all this other stuff. And you really start to learn how small this community is, and how, you know, we can, you know, that rising tide lifts all boats, and we can really do big things all together. We are comedians, who love American soccer, and we want to find people that enjoy humor and American soccer and enjoy those things together, because it should be a part of the culture. And Gully Squad is the place to do that.
It's the culture builder, really. We're bringing together the culture that we're trying to build. So join Gully Squad. Go to our website, soccercooligans.com. Hit join Gully Squad. A bunch of different levels. It would mean so much to us.
All right. So thanks again to all those Gully Squad members that already did sign up. You guys help make these things happen. Even, you know, we don't get Seth on the show if we don't got the support from you guys. So thank you again for that. So we'll be back next week, as usual, on Wednesday. Make sure you, again, subscribe to the show. The YouTube channel as well, there's going to be more videos coming up. The Mate video with Maxi Arruti is coming up, and that's going to be exciting. And that's about it. All right. So let's wrap up, Alexis. I was just going to say thank you again for listening. Make sure you leave a 5-star review on iTunes.
Absolutely. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian Polanco.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!